1-888-248-2-4-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California, 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being, because, of course, we hopefully will very, very soon have with us on the line here Mr. Craig Wynn. And, of course, Craig is an entrepreneur, but more recently he took a trip and spent some time with the Islamic terrorists to get their view of, course, how they view the world and why they hate America. And I understand he's just recently been over there in the Middle East. Craig, are you with us there?
I sure am. Dr. Stan, how are you?
That's great to have you back again.
And, thank you.
And tell us now, what's your take on what's happening? Certainly, we have our troops stationed now in the Middle East, and I think they're probably going to be there for a good long while. I don't believe that the plan is to bring them home in a year or two or three or four. But, of course, the world has changed. We seem to be increasingly in conflict with the Islamic world, at least with the radical form of Islam, which, of course, hates the West and hates everything we stand for. So tell us what your take is on what's going on today.
Well, Dr. Stan, actually, we're not at war with the radical faction of Islam. We're at war with mainstream Islam. You know, a religion cannot be any different than its founder. It would be, silly to say that Christianity could be different than Christ. It would be just a corruption of the doctrine if it was different. And the same is true with Islam. Muhammad himself was a terrorist. He led 75 terrorist raids. He was the most brutal man who ever lived. In fact, he was more brutal than Adolf Hitler. So any follower of Muhammad who follows Allah's orders, and the Quran orders Muslims to emulate Muhammad's behavior.
But, of course, an awful lot of Muslims really are not of that. They don't look at it that way. They probably have never even read or understood what a violent religion they were part of.
Yeah, it's true. It's like a lot of doctrines in the history of the world. I think that for many years, for example, Catholicism, the vast majority of Catholics probably never read the Bible. I think the vast majority of people who were in Nazi Germany had never read Mein Kampf. But the problem is that what you have here is a doctrine. When it's applied exactly as it's written, when it's applied exactly as it was lived, will cause you to be a terrorist. So it's impossible to be a good Muslim and not be a terrorist. Now, it's very possible to be a bad Muslim and not be a terrorist, but the problem is, if you're a bad Muslim, according to the Quran, your God hates you, so what's the use?
And yet, of course, the majority of the Muslims, at least until recently, were of the moderate form. They just wanted to get along. But increasingly, I see the radical beliefs, spreading throughout the Muslim world, the 1.2 billion people who have embraced the Muslim faith. And my understanding is that in many parts of the world, the Muslim world anyway, why, of course, Osama bin Laden is much more popular than George Bush.
Well, Osama bin Laden is the most popular person in all of the Islamic world. There are more children named Osama than any other name now in the Islamic world. He has a 70% approval rating in most of these countries. We have grossly misunderstood the popularity of fundamental Islam. Fundamental Islam is jihadist Islam. And, it's difficult to say what percentage of those people are good Muslims, which means they're terrorists, and which people are just going along to keep their head on their shoulders, because Muhammad said if any Muslim rejects their faith, they must be killed. And they kill non-Muslims all the time. So it's hard to tell what the percentages are, but if only 20% of Muslims are really good ones, they're 2,000% more violent than the rest of us.
We'll be right back here in just a moment with Craig Wynn. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and our guest, of course, is Craig Wynn, and he's written a book based upon his visit to the Middle East and, of course, visiting with the terrorists. And will you just get back from there again?
No, I've since we've last talked, I have spent about 10,000 hours studying the Islamic scriptures, and I've just completed a book called Prophet of Doom, which is the first ever to take the four holy books of Islam, put them in chronological order, and then put them in context of one another, so that everyone has the opportunity to understand what this doctrine is all about, so that no one will have the excuse. No one will be able to say jihad is a peaceful struggle, because they'll have the truth.
No, of course, and jihad by its very nature is not peaceful. But, of course, there's not only the Quran, but what is it, the Hadith, something?
Yeah, Islam is made up of two parts. There's the Quran, which they allege is a dictation directly from God, which I can talk about how absurd that statement is. And the second is the Sunnah, which is the example of the Prophet. The Sunnah is comprised entirely of hadith. Hadith is an oral report. There were four primary collectors of these hadith. The first, by far, 100 years before anybody else, was Ibn Ishaq, who wrote it in the form of a biography. The second was Al-Tabari, who wrote it in the form of a history. Very, very good read if you want to understand Islam. And then there's two collections that are by subject. One is by Bukhari, and the other is by Muslim. Those four books comprise the Sunnah, or the hadith of the Prophet, and they are the books that give the Quran shape and meaning and chronology and context. Without those books, the Quran is absolutely a waste of time. It has no context and no chronology.
But, of course, these other books, of course, they're holy books to the Muslims, and they really do help the Muslim to understand what it's about. The tragedy is when they understand what it's about, and if they really take this to heart, why they become part of this radical form of Islam that believes that, of course, you will spread the Muslim religion by the sword. You will kill Muslims who do not agree with you, as well as, of course, the infidels like you and me. And yes, it is indeed a violent, violent religion.
Yeah. Allah tells Muslims to wipe the infidels out to the last. He says, lay in wait for the infidels, torment them, mutilate them, crucify them, enslave them, and to continue to fight the infidels until the only religion in the world is Islam. Now, that's direct quotes right out of the Quran. And then he goes to the trouble of explaining for us what an infidel is. Quran 5:72 says, he is surely an infidel that says that Christ is the Messiah. So if you are a Christian, Islam's God has ordered all Muslims to lay in wait for you, to mutilate you, to kill you, and to continue to fight you until you either die or you become a Muslim.
We're going to have to hold it right there because we've got to pick up our last station and bring it online, and then we'll be right back with Craig Wynn. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and our guest this afternoon is Craig Wynn, and we've interviewed Craig before on a number of occasions. And, of course, the first book he wrote was called, as I remember, and correct me if I'm wrong, Craig, it was called Tea with Terrorists, wasn't it?
Actually, the first book I wrote was about the collapse of corporate America.
All right,
from an insider's point of view, but you're right. The second book was called Tea with Terrorists. The first one's called In the Company of Good and Evil, about what goes on in corporate America on inside of public company boardrooms, which is really an insightful tale of why businesses are failing in this country.
And, of course, you've been part of this whole structure, haven't you, in the past?
Oh, I've taken two companies public, and since I have seen really how corrupt and immoral the governance system is for corporate America, I felt that it would be wise for someone who's been on the inside, who has taken companies public, been on public company boards, built companies from scratch. My last company I built from nothing to $3 billion in 3 years, to be able to communicate to Americans what really happens, what accounting firms are like, and lawyers and investment bankers and professional corporate type managers. And then, of course, the second book was based upon my personal meetings with Hamas, Hezbollah, Islamic Jihad, Al-Qaeda, and the Oscar Martyrs Brigade, and how meeting directly with them at gunpoint led me to a voyage of discovery where I took the time to study the Islamic scriptures that these terrorists had quoted.
And so because of your experience in the corporate world, you were able to finance, you didn't have to worry about the funding, so you could really get in and study and travel and really try to then bring this all together for people across America. Is that
yes, right? That's exactly right. In fact, I have no axe to grind. Because I have, I've made my living, I was retired, I was in a position, Stan, to be able to report back exactly what I learned without any motivations for anything other than to expose the truth. I thought it would be really good for America to know why men thought it was in their interest to scream out Allahu Akbar as they flew planes into buildings, because if we could understand what causes them to do it, we'd be in a much better position to be able to stop them from doing it again.
All right, fine. And so when Craig talks about a good Muslim, he means one that we would call a bad Muslim, but that's all right. We'll use his terminology. A good Muslim is one who really follows the teachings of Allah, which really do advocate violence and murder. And of course, really, if you go back and you study the history of Wahhab, of course, who was the modern-day reincarnation of Muhammad in the 1700s, and they were, of course, the foundation of modern-day Saudi Arabia, why the Wahhabis would go out and they would kill all the adjacent Muslims if they didn't adopt their radical form of Islam and go around killing other Muslims. I mean, it's the most incredible and violent religion, and yet, of course, the whole philosophy is behind it is they want a Muslim world. And, of course, Saudi Arabia is the very center of this today.
I understand. You're right in that Muhammad viewed the world in two pieces. There was the House of Islam, which means submission, which had surrendered to him, and then there was the House of War. The House of War was every non-Islamic country. And all the Wahhabis were just good Muslims. They were applying the teachings and example of Muhammad directly to their lives, and that's what made them so violent. The problem we're having in America, though, is we have this tendency to think that the fundamentalist Muslims are Wahhabis. They're not Wahhabis. They're just good Muslims. The Wahhabis were just one of many fundamentalist Islamic organizations, just like Jamaa Islamia that blew up the hotel yesterday and blew up the nightclub some time ago. All of these organizations are singing from the same choir book, the choir book that orders them to fight until there are no more of us.
And, of course, the thing is that the movement has been largely financed by Saudi Arabia. Would you agree with that?
Oh, boy, when I met with the terrorists themselves, they told me why they killed, and of course, their primary motivation is Islam, but the secondary motivation is money. And they told me where they were funded, and of course, the largest supply of money comes from Saudi Arabia. The Saudi Arabians, on average, give the family of a suicide bomber $1 million. The largest wealth transfer, Stan, in the history of the world takes place every day, where America and Western nations transfer $1 billion a day to Saudi Arabia and Iran and Iraq and countries like this that are manufacturing the terrorists that are killing us. And that oil money is going directly to manufacture them. It goes to build mosques that teach this kind of vitriolic hatred. It goes to the public schools and the private schools, which teach the same thing. And it goes to the Islamic media, which fans the flames of martyrdom. They're manufacturing the terrorists with our money, Stan.
And I know, and yet, of course, they're being protected by the administration that says you're either with us or against us, and yet they're being covered up by our president, who is saying, oh, we can't release this information. You know, there's 26 or 28 pages in the report, because we don't want Muhammad Atta to find out what we knew about him before he blew himself up. And that is simply to confuse the American people. And then the Saudis are playing this little game.
He's lying to us.
Oh, please go ahead and release this information. I mean, please, we want the American people to know we have nothing to hide. Oh, no, we can't do that because Muhammad Atta would find out. I mean, this is the most ridiculous thing in the world. And then, of course, I was reminded of something that somebody has told me. You know, it was supposedly the Wizard of Oz says, you know, I can't give you a brain, but I can give you a diploma. And the problem is we've got people here in America who are educated far beyond their intelligence, and they accept what they're told without ever bothering to question. Why is it that the administration is covering up for the very people who supplied 15 of the 19 terrorists, who gave us Osama bin Laden because he was from Saudi Arabia? And if anybody thinks that he's cut off completely his relationship with his family, they're not reading the foreign press, which will tell you there's still a very close relationship between brother Osama and, of course, the family, which is very close to the throne of Saudi Arabia. So basically, what can we do, though, Craig? I mean, the average American has no idea how this fits together because they watch too much television.
Well, first of all, the average American, if they listened to you, they wouldn't be confused. You have seen right through it. You understand exactly what the president's motives are. You know what he's doing, and you know why he's doing it, and you know that it's an absolute immoral and criminal shame. So if America was listening to you, we wouldn't be in the mess that we're in, but we are. So there are several things that we can do. The first thing that we can do is that we get the government we deserve. If enough Americans would take the time to learn the truth about Islam, go to and buy a book like Tea with Terrorists, or I'll release shortly here my next book on Islam called Prophet of Doom, or go to the State University of New York Press website and buy The History of Al-Tabati, volumes 6 through 9. Read it for yourself. Your hair will stand on end. You will find that 99% of the words of fundamental Islam, the original Islam of Muhammad, are about terrorism and grotesque immorality. You'll find genocide and torture and sadism and just disgusting stuff. So the first thing we can do is we can read the Mein Kampf of this doctrine that is killing us. The second thing we can do is to stop sending $1 billion a day to these countries that are manufacturing the terrorists that are going to kill us.
Well, of course, we're told we have to do that because of the oil crisis, and yet everything has been done to block our own oil development, to block, development of nuclear power, to make us energy independent.
Right.
Everything has been done to make us dependent upon these people who are financing the terrorists.
Well, that's true. Here's what we can do. First of all, we do have to drill in the Anwar, and you know that. And second, we do have to start using that nuclear power, and we have to use the technology we have to burn coal cleanly. However, we don't have the time that it's going to take to pull all those things online before they manufacture more terrorists and that millions of Americans die. So what we can do in the short term is we can use the most magnificent military in the world, and rather than trying to occupy a country that doesn't want freedom, that will never be free in Iraq, instead, why don't we just take over the oil refinery and pipeline facilities in these countries, which would be so much easier than trying to maintain a presence in an entire country. Just take over the oil facilities and make certain that 100% of that oil goes to positive, productive things and that 0% of it goes to fundamental Islam. If we were to do that, Stan, terrorism worldwide would dry up because it feeds on money.
And I'm sure it does. And I think the most important message perhaps our listeners could get today is a terrorist organization has to have a country behind it. You can't have a lot of guys just sitting around working full-time, supporting their families, and then incidentally they're going to become a terrorist organization. You have to have people who have a lot of money, who have access to explosives, who have access to the training, and you get that from a country, not from an individual.
Right. In fact, I wrote about this in Tea with Terrorists. The kind of culture that's necessary to breed a terrorist is incredibly difficult to maintain. You have to have total control of the religion, total control of the media, total control of people so they have no freedom of speech, they have no freedom of movement. You have to have stunning amounts of money to control the educational process. And that's what exists in 100% of the Islamic world. And because they have total control, they can breed terrorists. The reason that we haven't had more terrorist attacks in America is it's very difficult to maintain the kind of control over a young man or a young woman to continue to poison their mind, to cause them to think that doing something as dastardly as flying a plane into a building full of innocent people is a good thing. But in throughout the Middle East and in these Islamic countries, they can do that because they have the control mechanisms in place.
Well, we have a very good friend. Her name is Carol Matriciana. She's put together a video based upon the footage that is being shown daily on Arab TV, Islamic television over
horrible.
There. And, of course, I don't know if you've ever seen any of this,
sure.
But, I mean, the video we carry is called The New Barbarians. They're indoctrinating these children, 8, 9, 10 years old, to kill, and that's what it's all about, and marching with their guns, and of course, certainly putting on their little belts, to blow themselves up with the idea of killing other people. And it's almost impossible to think they'd do that to the minds of the children. But it's really going on today.
And not just occasionally. It's pervasive. It's overwhelming. It's ubiquitous.
And this, of course, is what the American people don't think. And all our job is to make them think. And, Craig, I'm so glad you're out there, on all the radio programs, getting the message out. We're going to be back in just a minute with Craig Wynn. And we'll certainly invite your calls here at Radio Liberty. If you have any question, if you don't believe this, you need, of course, to understand what the Quran and the Hadith really teach. And you're not going to get that from Barbara Walters or Dan Rather or Tom Brokaw, a spokesman of the establishment that created the problem we face today. Our four tape set on the JFK assassination includes an interview with Lee Harvey Oswald. Of course, it's not an interview that I did, but it is an interview, and you'll actually hear Lee Harvey Oswald talking before the time of the assassination. a two-hour interview with Colonel Fletcher Prouty, who was the liaison between the Pentagon and the CIA at the time of the assassination of the American president, and then, of course, my overall analysis of the reasons why President Kennedy was assassinated. There's so much information that has not been put out, and if you listen to this four-tape set, you will begin to understand that there are forces at work behind the scenes which have been able to confuse the American people about the reality of the murder of an American president. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, that's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and ask for the JFK assassination tapes. This is Dr. Stan here, and I just want to mention that if you feel run down, if you feel that you need more energy, have you ever considered taking Be Alive Royal Jelly? Now, I've taken this for about 10 years on my own and along with my family. We've been very, very satisfied with it, and recently, why, the Be Alive people approached us and asked if we'd like to have them sponsor us for a month. So we certainly agreed to that because we think it's a great product, and I think you will too. Let me suggest that you call 1-866-233-7500. That's 1-866-233-7500. The product is sold with a money-back guarantee. So give them a call at 1-866-233-7500 and simply ask to learn more about Be Alive Royal Jelly. I think that you'll be very, very satisfied with this product. And of course, what Be Alive Royal Jelly really is, it's something to give you more energy. And if you feel run down, if you just feel you need more energy, give it a try. And as I say, it's sold with a money-back guarantee, but you have to take it regularly for 3 months to know if it's going to help. And then, of course, let me comment that we were talking about the videos put together by Carol Matriciana. It's called The New Barbarians. You really need to see this. I mean, you know, I'm getting videos. I mean, I get 3 or 4 videos a week. Everybody says, this is the greatest video of all time. And, of course, I can't watch all of them, but I know Carol. I like Carol. And so I sat down with my wife. We've watched this video. And I will tell you, it takes a lot to shock me, and I was shocked. And this is something you need to understand. What they're doing with the minds of these children, you know, it is the ultimate in cruelty, to indoctrinate them in hatred, to indoctrinate them in violence, to train them to kill. And they're training these children 10 years old to be killers, and you know who they're going to kill? They're going to kill the infidels, like you. New Barbarians, available by calling 1-800-544-8927. Now, there is another tape set we have called The New Order of the Barbarians, and this is, of course, the interviews with Sergeant Dr. Dunnigan, who heard back in 1969 a talk given by the head of, or the former head of Planned Parenthood, Dr. Richard Day, where he talked about the men who really rule the world and what they were planning, and of course the new diseases they were creating, how they were going to cover up cancer treatments, and how they were going to change the outlook of the American people. How in 69 he was talking about how they were going to pay the professional athletes countless millions of dollars, how they were going to, of course, get people to buy foreign products rather than American products, how these people had a different worldview. That's the new order of the barbarians. Let me suggest that tape set too, but certainly the video, The New Barbarians, is very, very important, and we recommend that you get it. Well, Dr. Stan, back here at Radio Liberty, our guest this afternoon is Craig Wynn, and Craig has been studying this whole Islamic movement, and I think that he just set out to find out what it was about, talk to the terrorists, and why don't you just briefly tell our listeners who haven't heard you before about your experience actually traveling to Israel and then, of course, going into the Palestinian area really without weapons, without any protection, with the hope you were going to be able to meet with the terrorists. The arrangements had already been made, but these are violent people. They were willing to talk to you and, of course, to tell you exactly what they believe in. Did you sense this feeling of hatred for what you and I stand for?
Not with the first group of terrorists, but with the second. The way the meetings were arranged is through my prior contacts and being in business, I'm very well connected politically. And so when I went over to Israel, I had many people I was scheduled to meet with from the Palestinian Authority and from the Israeli Knesset, including ministers from Sharon's party, in fact, his senior ministers, as well as members of the Shin Bet and the Mossad, which are the Israeli secret services. And on top of all that, members of what is called 417, which is Yasser Arafat's personal bodyguard service, like what we would call our secret service in America. And through 10 days of meetings with these people, I was finally able to broker a series of meetings with the terrorists themselves. And it was something that I would not recommend anyone else doing. In fact, the Mossad had me sign a piece of paper before they would take me to the border. And the paper said that what you were doing is so risky that the odds are that we will never see you again, that we do not know where they're going to take you, and there's nothing we can do to save you, and that the history has been that men who have tried to do what you are doing do not come back alive. So I had to sign that paper. In fact, the Mossad agents, who's one of the toughest, most really brilliant men that I've ever met in my life, his last comment to me says, if you lift the door of this car, the handle of this door, and you walk across that border, if you are not on God's mission, you are a dead man.
Well, you came back, so obviously God was with you. I mean, and really, it was a frightening thing to do. In some way, it was foolhardy, and yet somebody had to do it and bring this message back to the American
people. I didn't feel foolhardy at all, because I did feel I was on God's mission. And I did not think there was any chance that he would allow me to die before I could bring this story back. And yes, the entire time I had guns pointed at me, sometimes by children, 8 and 9 years old, who would chamber around at an automatic pistol and point it right at my head. And many of the guns that were pointed at my head were actually supplied by Americans.
And in fact,
one of the saddest things.
Well, I think what American people must understand is we've been financing the Palestinians for a long time. This terrorist movement, we rescued them when they were about to be destroyed in Lebanon, I know, during the 1980s. We give money to Yasser Arafat. Of course, we finance this whole thing, and then we wonder why, of course, we have these people on the other side who threaten us.
Well, 100% of the actions of the United States State Department, really in the last 100 years, Dr. Stan, have aided and abetted our enemies. And we could go through each of the disasters that they have led us into. But let me give you just specifics about my first meeting. The terrorists I met with first were members of Fatah, that's Yasser Arafat's personal political party. It's why he's always elected by a 99.9% approval rating, as he's the only name on the ballot. These men were members of the Oscar Martyrs Brigade, which is part of the Fatah party. The captain was a direct report to Yasser Arafat. His two lieutenants, of course, reported to him. The two lieutenants were trained at Quantico. We have a CIA facility in Quantico in Virginia.
Now, these are the people who work for Yasser Arafat. We train them, and we train them in all the techniques of killing and all this.
That is correct. We actually supplied the guns, the M16s that they had, were given to them by America because Yasser Arafat said that he needed a Palestinian police department and he needed them to be armed, and that's why we trained these men and that's why we gave them the arms. But let me tell you what they did with them. These three men, just 2 days prior to me meeting with them, blew off the axles of a bus, and there were 11 Jewish women and children on that bus. As they fled the bus, which had the axle blown off, at point-blank range, they blew off their heads. They were gleeful about it, as they told me, about what they had done, and said they were not terrorists, they were army men, because they had used rifles, they had not used suicide bomber belts. They were killed with American M16s supplied by the American administration and trained in America to be able to kill innocent women and children.
Now, there's something wrong with this picture, but we're going to get back to that in just a moment. And we're not going to take any calls for a little while, and then, of course, perhaps later on. But I want you to hear the full story. I want you to understand how we create the best enemies money can buy, and then we wonder why we're hated throughout the world. Maybe it's time that the good people of America got involved. Because if we're not involved now, when? And if it's not you and I, who will be involved?
The Have you ever wondered about the boys we left behind in Vietnam, in Korea? Did you ever know that we left 25,000 American boys behind in Russia, in Siberia, at the end of the Second World War? Have you ever wondered what really happened at Oklahoma City, what really happened with TWA 800 and the went down off the eastern coast about a year ago? Well, ladies and gentlemen, all of the subjects are well covered in a fascinating book by Craig Roberts entitled The Medusa File. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, order The Medusa File. Actually, Craig Roberts was a police officer working on the Oklahoma City bombing. Now, this book has been suppressed very effectively across America, and it's self-published, but I promise you that there's no other book I know that will give you more contemporary history, frightening history that every American needs to know. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR now.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and let me just comment. There is a product, it's called Almax, and it's a garlic product, and I've used this myself for about 9 months now, and mainly because I wanted to avoid getting colds over the wintertime. It's very hard many times if you're laid up flat on your back, of course, to do radio programs. And so without the good coverage, sometimes the gentleman who ordinarily covers for me sometimes wasn't available. And so, well, we just started taking this because, of course, there were studies in Great Britain that showed in a double-blind study that Alamax really did cut down on the incidence of colds. And so for the last 9 months, I've really been doing, I think, remarkably well. My blood pressure is down. I don't know what my latest cholesterol is, but we just got it drawn the other day. We'll have to take a look at that. But, you know, if you would like to try Alamax and find out about it, why don't you call them at 866-405, I should say, 4000. That's 866-405-4000 and ask for Alamax. And then, of course, we want to mention products we sell. One of them would be the Miracle 2 soap products, and we can't make any medicinal claims, but we can tell you that the people who use these products make all sorts of wonderful claims, you know, how it helps rashes and all sorts of things that takes away pain of bites in them, Electronon bursts, and, well, all we can do is suggest that you try them. There's a soap and a lotion. There is a gel, there is a moisturizing soap, and a neutralizer, and the neutralizer is a very alkaline solution. Some people take it for epigastric distress, and my wife, of course, has taken this, got off of most of the pills. Once in a while, she has to take these very strong pills, but on most situations, why she does really great simply with a neutralizer. Call 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. Ask for the Miracle 2 soap products. You'll be glad you did. Well, Dr. Stan back here, and of course our guest is Craig Wynn, and he's telling us about, of course, his trip into the PLA area, the Palestinian Liberation Area, and of course the Palestinian people, many of them pointing guns at him, and then actually meeting with the terrorists. And what are they telling him? Why, they're telling them they were trained in the United States. They trained how to kill. And, of course, the weapons that they had were given to them by the United States government. You see, we finance the Israelis. We finance the terrorists. We finance both sides. And those of you who have never seen that wonderful article out of the Washington Post, we offer to anybody who'd like to see it, copy, going into how the United States Agency for International Development in the 1980s spent $56 million on textbooks to promote radical Islam, or what Craig would call the good Islamic movement. Kill the infidels, die for Allah. You know, the true Wahhabi religion, why were we funding that in the 1980s in Afghanistan? $56 million. You can't put anything about religion in American textbooks, but you can put about other religions preaching hatred of America. How could you do something like that stupid unintentionally? Well, pick up the story from there, Craig. And anybody who'd like that clipping from the Washington Post, yeah, give us a call at 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. Ask for the article on the schools and how we use the schools to indoctrinate the Islamic youth to hate America.
It's stunning that we aid and abet our enemies. And America's had a habit of doing this. I mean, we know that we were the ones that funded Osama bin Laden because he was the enemy of our enemy and he was killing Russians. So we put him in business. When Saddam Hussein was killing Iranians and we hated the Iranians, he was the enemy of our enemies, so we supplied Saddam Hussein with his biological and chemical weapons, and we supplied him with intelligence so he was able to stay in power and build his army, and now he's our enemy. When we went into the first Gulf War, we forgave $29 billion of Egyptian debt to America and $5 billion of Syrian debt to America, also that they could spend it on American tanks and warplanes for the purposes of destroying Israel. We are so stupid.
Either that or diabolical, I'm not sure.
Yeah, I think it's actually diabolical. I don't think you could consistently be this wrong. Even if you go back into World War II, we were the principal support of Stalin, a man who killed 20 million of his own people, and a man whose doctrine enslaved almost a billion people for 80 years. We were the country that liberated China, but because we worked with and supported Mao, 5 years after we were liberated China from a Holocaust, almost as bad as what happened to the Jews in Nazi Germany, 5 years later they came storming over the hills and slaughtered, 40 or 50 American boys in Korea. No matter where you turn, the American government is on the wrong side of everything, making tomorrow's enemies. And one of the greatest examples today that is ultimately going to destroy America, this time the price will be our destruction, is we're sending $1 billion a day and pretending like Saudi Arabia and Iran and all of these Middle Eastern countries are our friend, our allies, and so we're sending them $1 billion a day and protecting them while they build nuclear bombs, which they will use to destroy us.
Now, I fear that what you're saying is exactly right, but everybody's forgotten, of course, who brought Ayatollah Khomeini to power in 79? And, of course, that was the American government that overthrew the Shah, financed the military, got him to step down and not resist the revolution. And then, of course, we bring Ayatollah Khomeini to power and see why he's our enemy. And then, once again, the finest enemy money can buy. And but we're in the process right now of destabilizing Iran, and we're sending forces in there right now. And I've talked to people who've been in contact with Rumsfeld, and of course, the CIA is in there working right now to destabilize Iran.
So and we'll have a worse government, not a better government. Right. You put the 20-somethings, you know, 80% of Iran is under the age of 30 years old. You put those youngsters who have only been indoctrinated with fundamental Islam in power, and they're going to be even worse than the old fogies that are controlling the country right now in an Islamic regime. And unfortunately, the Iranians are only 6 months away from having a fission bomb, and they already have intercontinental ballistic missiles. Very foolish stuff. You know, when we went into Afghanistan mislabeling the cause of 9/11, Al-Qaeda didn't perpetrate 9/11. 9/11 was perpetrated, funded, conceived, and staffed in the Al-Qaeda Mosque in Hamburg, Germany. It was just a fundamental Islamic deed, you know, all in the day's work for a good Muslim. When we went into Afghanistan, we pushed the fundamentalist Muslims, the Al-Qaeda organization and the Taliban, into Pakistan, you know, where now they have access to fission bombs.
And in fact, if Musharraf is ever overthrown, you're going to find the radical Islamists have the Pakistani bomb.
Yeah, there was a series of reports in major newspapers here just in the last couple of weeks about the fact that the jihadist movement in Pakistan is a fire, and that the country is being swallowed up by fundamentalist Muslims in the jihadist movement. And understand, you probably know, having been a student of history, that it only takes 3% of a country, if they're properly motivated and violent, to overthrow the whole country. In 1917, 3% of Russians were communists, and yet they were able to imprison, ultimately, 2 billion people from that doctrine. In 1928, only 3% of Germans were Nazis, and yet 55 million people died. It doesn't take much if the people are indoctrinated to be brutal enough, and that's what's happening every day in the Islamic world. And so we're going to end up with a series of countries that are so brutal and so vicious that rather than thousands of Americans dying like what happened on 9/11, they're going to plant biological weapons and thermonuclear weapons and radiological dispersion devices, and we're going to lose millions and millions of Americans.
Well, I hope you're wrong, but I certainly not wouldn't want to bet against you. We know the radicals already control Turkey, and the only reason that it's not being posed because the military won't let them, the military we're backing.
Right.
The radicals already control Algeria. They won the election there. The military wouldn't let them come to power with our backing.
And they'll soon have Indonesia, which will be the third of the... and then once they have that, then they will have 100% dictatorships in all of the Islamic world.
Right. And of course, these are Islamic. Now, right now, they have dictatorships, but at least they're military dictatorships.
Correct.
And a radical Islam does not control the country, but certainly it's only a matter of time before they do. And everything we're doing is inflaming this. This is the problem.
It is true. In fact, a book written between 2,000 and 3,000 years ago predicted that the last war on planet Earth, World War III, would be incited completely because, Islamic nations were going to attack Israel, and the death count is just going to be staggering. The Bible says that 5 out of every 6 Muslims that attack Israel are going to die, and that all total, it's going to, the casualties will be 1.5 billion in that war.
Well, we have already started World War III. The American people don't know that. American people are so gullible. They don't understand World War III has already started.
It has.
It's only a matter of course, the next battle and the next battle, and then, of course, the great battle, and I fear, of course, there'll be terrible retaliation against the United States by the Muslim world that has intercontinental ballistic missiles and looked upon America as their enemy.
That's correct. In fact, World War III is actually begun when a peace treaty is signed with Israel and many nations guaranteeing Israel's peace. See, in Islam, a peace treaty is a tool to lure the enemy asleep. Muhammad gave the example of what's called Hudaybiya, which every time an Islamic dictator signs a peace treaty with the West, they always quote Hudaybiya. Hudaybiya was where he signed a 10-year peace treaty with Mecca and said that he would never war with the Meccans. And the following year, he came down with 10,000 troops and conquered the place. And so that's the example that they follow. And if we continue with the roadmap that the president is currently pursuing, what will happen is exactly what happened when we went down this road in 1938. A guy named Neville Chamberlain had a roadmap to peace where he gave Adolf Hitler Czechoslovakia, the high ground of Czechoslovakia, just like George Bush is trying to give these terrorists the high ground of Israel. And by the way, I have just recently written about 100 pages of taking quotes out of Mein Kampf and putting them side by side with the Islamic scripture. They're indistinguishable.
So will that be in your latest book or what?
Yes, it's in Prophet of Doom. There's about 100 pages of Prophet of Doom are dedicated to the direct comparison of quotes from Adolf Hitler in Mein Kampf and the identical quote in the Islamic Hadith or Quran. And what you find is that Mein Kampf was started as a religion, and it is no less brutal, no less racist than the Quran. Both dictators told the world that they were going to succeed using terrorism.
Well, of course, I think both of them are rooted spiritually in the occult. And of course, this is Muhammad. Of course, Allah is the moon god, and of course, Hitler was deeply involved within the occult himself.
It's so worse than that. It's worse than that, Dr. Stan. When I say that Mein Kampf was written as a religion, the religion of Mein Kampf, Satan was the prince. Throughout Mein Kampf, he constantly refers to his deity, and Adolf Hitler's deity was Satan.
No question.
And now in Islam, it's the same case. The Allah in the Quran, the way that he describes himself is identical to the Bible definition of Lucifer. He purposefully leads men astray. He shackles them, drags them into hell, turns them on spits, boils boiling water down their throats. He makes them each pitch. He tears out their intestines. He says that he is a terrorist. He says that he destroys civilizations. The Allah, the God of the Quran, is identical to the biblical description of Satan. Muhammad himself said that he was demon-possessed. During his first encounter, which began all of Islam, he was in a cave late at night, and the spirit came upon him and almost beat him to death. And after being nearly beaten to death, he tried to commit suicide. Unable to commit suicide, he ran to his wife, who was 60 years old at the time, and he says, "I fear for my life. I have been possessed by a jinn." A jinn is a demonic spirit. So he knew precisely what had happened to him. He was demon-possessed, and from that point forward, 100% of Islam, its scriptures and its hadith unfold like Satan's Manifesto.
Well, I agree with you totally. In fact, I came to this conclusion a long time ago, but I'd never heard that quite so well as far as the Muslim religion. But I realized, of course, this whole thing has to be Luciferian. In fact, that's what motivates communism. This is what motivated Adolf Hitler. And the fact that this is never preached in our churches today, and we're certainly never told this by our conservative or our Christian leaders, is the one reason we're in the mess we are today. So I'm so glad you're out of the stump getting this message out.
Oh, it's so sad. In fact, the biggest problem, Stan, is just what you've said. The reason I like you is you just flat out understand this, and I really admire that. The fact of the matter is the reason that these satanic doctrines like Nazism and communism and Islam exist is because we Christians aren't doing our job. We have misinterpreted the Third Commandment. The Third Commandment does not say, "Thou shalt not take the Lord thy God's name in vain." That would be absurd. He didn't write that in stone. What he said was, "Thou shalt not accept or advance in the name or character of Yahweh, your deity, anything that is destructive or deceitful." We are commanded to expose satanic doctrines like Islam.
So do you have this in your book, Prophet of Doom?
I do. In fact, what I did in Prophet of Doom, as with every page of the Hadith and the Quran, as Allah acted more and more like Satan and Muhammad acted more and more demon-possessed, I really did a thorough study of Satan and Lucifer in the Bible so that I could compare what the Bible said about these characters to what the Quran and the Hadith are saying, and the evidence is overwhelming.
Well, you know, of course, in all but the King James Version of the Bible, they've removed all mention of Lucifer. They've infiltrated the Christian church. They've changed the message of the Bible in many respects.
Yes, we have. Our translations of the Bible are horrible. My biggest beef is that if the Creator God of the universe bothered to give us his name 6,868 times straight out, and another 132 times in code in the book of Leviticus, where it's every 70th letter, is Yod-Heh-Vah-Heh. If he gave us his name a grand total of 7,000 times, why did we edit it out? We don't know our God's name. The reason Muslims can fool us into thinking we all worship the same God is because we Christians don't know our God's name. The God of the Bible, of the Scriptures, the God of the Jews, the God of the Christians has a name. His name is Yahweh. His name means I am, which is the answer to the single most important question men can ask. If God exists, everything changes.
Amen to that. Well, I'm really looking forward to getting a copy of Prophet of Doom and, of course, to getting this message out, and I'll do everything I can to help you because you're absolutely right. We're involved in a spiritual battle being fought on a political and ideological and historic, cultural battlefield, and most people don't even know there's a war going on.
Amen. That's exactly right. And the reason that the bad guys are winning is that the good guys don't even know the war is going on.
Well, of course, now, of course, I fear that, our forces are over there in the Middle East now, but I think that, of course, we'll destabilize Iran, perhaps we'll even destabilize Saudi Arabia.
Yes,
but eventually there's going to be a blowback.
Saudi Arabia's going to fall. I mean, right. There's no question Saudi Arabia's going to fall. There's no question that Iran's going to fall, and both are going to be worse than they are now, and Pakistan is definitely going to fall as well. I wouldn't be surprised if Jordan falls because 75% of the Jordanians are so-called Palestinians, and the ruling party, the ruling king,
Hashemite Kingdom, right?
Yeah, Hashemite Kingdom is with Abdullah is not only not Palestinian, they're anti-Palestinian. In fact, Black September, the great PLO organization that was one of the most ruthless terrorist organizations in the world, was named after the Hashemite bloody overthrow, where they slaughtered the Palestinians, which is what sent the PLO out of Jordan and into Lebanon, where they immediately went to work and they destabilized what was the most wonderful country in the Middle East and turned it into a living hellhole with a combination of the PLO and Hezbollah. Hezbollah, by the way, means Allah's party. Hezbollah now controls Lebanon. Allah's party is a Shiite organization that is funded entirely out of oil money from Iran. The makeup of this, of the world that is swirling around us is not very complex, but we just don't wish to see it or understand how the pieces are fitting together and what their ultimate goals are.
And, of course, until you understand Hamas, of course, largely funded by Saudi Arabia, Hezbollah, funded by Iran, and both of them working together, even though one Sunni and the other Shiite, against the common enemy that they look upon, and that is the United States of America. And what are we doing while we're trying to hold hands with the Saudis and saying, oh, just be nice now. Why don't you just stop funding any more terrorist attacks? We know that 15 of the terrorists came from Saudi Arabia. And, of course, we know that Osama bin Laden came from there, but just don't do it anymore.
Yeah, the fact of the matter is that it wasn't a coincidence that 15 of the 19 came from Saudi Arabia. They came from Saudi Arabia because everything in Saudi Arabia manufactures terrorism. And it's not just there. They're infiltrating the Bahamas. They're infiltrating the United States with mosques and Islamic youth camps, teaching exactly the same thing in America that they're teaching in their country.
And they're doing it in our prisons as well. We're out of time, Craig. We could go on for another hour. God bless you. We'll look forward to having you on another
program. I love you, Dr. Stan. Boy, I tell you what, you are a breath of fresh air, and America deserves to listen to you. We wouldn't be in the mess we're in today.
God bless you. Thanks so much, Craig.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Good night.
All right, fine. Well, that was Craig Wynn, and I hope you enjoyed that. You heard a lot of wisdom from this gentleman. I'm getting to know him better and better as we talk, and finding I agree with him more and more. We'll be right back here in just a moment. Well, if there's any one tape that you should hear, it's my talk on geopolitics, an untold story that is vitally important if America is to survive as a free nation. It goes into the background of the forces that have created the wars of the 20th century, the World War, the First World War, the Second World War, Korea, Vietnam. We go into the ideological and the spiritual battle behind the forces that have moved America from crisis to crisis and are currently undermining the very fabric of our society. That number again, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and the tape, Geopolitics. It is vitally important that you help us to get this message out across America, because without knowledge, my people perish. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for copies of my talk on geopolitics. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and are you prepared to send your sons and brothers and husbands off to war? Well, we're going to have a draft. It's going to come. It's sure as God made little green apples, it's going to happen, unless the American people understand what this is all about. And if there's one video that I put together, it would be Iraq, the Untold Story. It's really the story of all of the wars that are leading up to the current war in Iraq. And we actually have a syllabus that goes with that, with all the documentation and many original documents I found going through dusty records at major universities. Iraq, the Untold Story, the video you should get, and hopefully you want to get the syllabus along with it. But you can get the video by calling 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And then if you haven't actually read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, or seen the video, and the video and the book are the same exactly. In fact, the book actually came from the video, from the talk I gave, and it was seen by the people from Hearthstone Press, and they said, look, we'd like to actually go ahead and make a book out of that. Would that be all right? And I said, sure. And then, of course, as always, of course, you're going to have to come up with all the documentation. So about 4 months later, while we came up with the book, we had all the documents, but just pulling them together and putting into a readable style. But you can get the book for $12.95. You can get the book and the video and the audio tape all together for $29.95. You can get a video by itself for $19.95. You get the special $29.95, and then, of course, feel free to copy the video, copy the audio tape, get people to understand, because if you're not involved, who will be? And if you're not involved now, then, of course, at what time will you get involved? When they've taken your sons, when they've taken your daughters, when they've taken your husbands or brothers to go off and fight another stupid and foolish war that is contrived, when we finance the very enemies we're up against, get them, and get them right now. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and this is the time when I have to remind you that Radio Liberty is listener-supported, and we do hope that many of you will decide that you'd like to join the Radio Liberty family, because we, quite frankly, need your help to get the information out across America. And we have an amazing outreach. You know, we started out with one little station, and now we have about 58 different outreaches. That's maybe internet, satellite, shortwave, radio. our weekend programs heard on 35 stations. That's nothing. Rush Limbaugh, who's the finest conservative money can buy, because he'll never tell you the real truth about what's going on. Great, great entertainer, but of course he's paid very, very well not to tell you about the Council on Foreign Relations. And you call him up and you talk about the CFR, he'll shut you off so rapidly that the CFR is a front organization for a secret occult society created in 1891 by Cecil Rhodes. So you need to, of course, have some means of getting the information out and helping the average American. Most Americans are good people. They love this country. They love freedom. But they don't understand we're involved in a spiritual battle. And, of course, everything going on is anti-Christian or anti-Judeo-Christian. And, I mean, the Supreme Court decisions on sodomy, the legalizing sodomy, the decisions we see, you know, here in California to $150,000 fine if you refuse to rent to or hire a transvestite. And they'll just come into your business and say, hire me, and if you don't, I'm going to get you for discrimination. Are you prepared to fight them and fight the state of California? We have to understand this is all satanic. This is all an effort to destroy the very moral fabric of what was once a great and noble Christian nation. So I hope many of you want to join us in this epic struggle to determine whether this nation or any nation conceived under God can long exist. Call us at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WARREN. And join the Radio Liberty family and help us as we gradually continue expanding across America. And then, of course, I just want to mention a couple of the products that, at least for this month, are helping us. And one of them is Be Alive Royal Jelly products. And this is what the queen bee eats in the hive there, and that's why she's so big and strong. And of course, she lives 6 years. The rest of the poor old bees live about 6 weeks. Be Alive Royal Jelly is designed by nature to give you more energy. I don't know why it does, but it really does. There are scientific explanations for it. But the important thing is if you take it regularly for 3 months, you should feel like you have a lot more energy. And if you don't, boy, you can always call and they'll give you your money back. The telephone number is 866-233-7500. That's 866-233-7500. And ask about Royal Jelly products. And then, of course, if you're out there across America and you're struggling with the cost of health care or the cost of insurance or you don't have any health insurance, consider a Christian health cost sharing program. A Christian health cost sharing program. It's called MediShare. If you'd like to know more, give us a call at 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. Go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. And you can see the water filters that we carry and the other products. But you can listen to our program 5 hours a day and not get very much done, but you can listen 5 hours a day. And you'll get guests like Craig Wynn we just had with a tremendous insight and understanding of what's going on today. And then, of course, pull down our newsletters and read the articles that are up there. And then feel free to copy them and help us get it out across America. And then, of course, we ask you to pray for America because we are involved in a truly spiritual battle. And the average person, the average Christian, Catholic, Protestant, the average American doesn't understand we're involved in a spiritual battle. And we ask you, of course, to pray for revival because if we don't have a third great awakening, then, of course, I see very little hope for the survival of America. And then lastly, of course, we ask you to pray for my ministry, Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. And so if, of course, you'd like to, of course, be with us tomorrow at the same time, we'll be back again. Until then, may the Lord be with you. Hello. Yeah, who's this? Oh, hi, Tony. How are you? Yes.